Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Blog Talk.
Good afternoon, everybody. We're now live on blogtalkradio.com, and I'm your host, Alan Harrison, along with my other people. Kevin will be calling in just a minute. He had a meeting he had to go to, and Jen, which is our female co-host, she should be calling in just a second. Having some technical difficulties going on over here, but we are going to make it. But today, people, we will be discussing the diary of the tired black man. Why are black men tired today? We're going to get down and dirty with this show today. I have some clips from this show today that we will be discussing today as well. And we're going to try to have a great hour and 30 show today. So if y'all out there listening, if you have any comments, please press that number one or send your messages on our web chat. And we'll definitely get to you because today we'll be discussing why are black men tired? What are some reasons why black men are tired? You know, what are some things that black women do to cause a black man to become tired? And will a black woman ever understand from the black man's spectrum how it feels to be mistreated, belittled, and rejected? And I think our female co-host is in right now. Jen, I know you got something to say about that.
I'm sorry, I had a bit of technical difficulty there, but wow, Al, I didn't know that we were so insensitive to, you know, the black man's needs and problems. You know, I find that false. So I think this is going to be an interesting conversation today.
I think so, too. I mean, you know, like I said, I got some clips from the movie that, you know, he took it from different types of spectrums. He went to different types, you know, different parts of the United States to get different perspectives from different people. So he wasn't just in his neighborhood, which is the guy's name is Tim Alexander. He is a producer, writer, and also director. He also directed this movie, which we're actually talking about today, The Diary of the Tired Black Man. And it is a great movie. And if you all have Netflix, in which I rented it off Netflix because I'm a member of Netflix, I actually got a chance to see this movie. It actually came out last year in 2008. It actually won a lot of awards from the independent film festival as well. And if you go on YouTube, you can type in Diary of a Tired Black Man and also look at some of those different scenes throughout the movie. And they also have some people on there who actually gave their response to some of the movies as well. Some of them are inappropriate, some of them are appropriate. So, you know, you can just take it, you know, take it in stride. But today we're going to, you know, try to bring some light to things, you know what I'm saying? We've been, you know, talking about a lot of relationship issues on our previous shows, but today, this is our most anticipated controversial show that we've been really waiting on all year to do. We finally decided to go ahead on and do it, and I know we're going to get into it today. So, Jen, I hope you come strong with it today.
I am ready for this conversation, Al. I've been ready. I'm ready for it.
Where your girls at? That's
listen,
what I'm waiting
they're
on.
They're out there. They are ready, too, because I think y'all are going to say some real off-the-wall things to me today. And so they are, my army is listening out there.
All right, now, well, we hope your army has some firepower. So they know how me and KG are. You know, so KG will be calling in a little bit.
Lord.
You know how we are. We get down and dirty on our show.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
I can't wait to talk about this angry black woman because I'm not sure what that means, Al. Al calls to all our listeners out there, if you listen to previous shows, Al calls me angry. Says I'm an angry black woman.
You
it's
are
not
an angry
true.
Black woman, then. Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I can't
believe
that.
What are you?
To me, I am a perceptive, strong black woman.
Okay, and I also have a clip on strong black woman as well, too, from the movie. So hopefully we're going to get into that towards the middle part of the show. What is a strong black woman? So we're going to get into all that today, most definitely. Most definitely. I can't wait to what you say about this thing. But I definitely want to hear what you're going to say. And also to our listeners out there, to our female listeners as well, you know, if you have a comment, please, you know, don't be afraid to comment. You know, we are a interactive show, and we want your voice to be heard on our show. If you have a, you know, an opinion that you want to state, please make sure you state it. And if you're on the chat board, please make sure you state your comments on the chat board as well, too. We can ask your voice, though. To all our listeners out there on Facebook, Yahoo, MySpace, and also on our website as well, you know, if you want y'all to give y'all comments as well, too, today, because I know y'all been waiting on this show. I have had people, you know, contact me. When y'all going to do the Power Black Men show, you know? We're doing it today. So, you know, we're going to get into it today, and I'm very excited myself, as you can see, Jim, about it. I can't wait to Kevin call in. This is going to go down in a minute.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
I can't wait to, because, you know what? What is a tired black man? What reason do black men have to be tired?
Well, I'm going to give, I mean, you're going to find out. You're going to find out, right. And, you know, we have, like I said, you know, I'm going to let the clip speak for himself first, and then I will potentially say something after that too, but I'm not gonna, you know, I'm not gonna get too rough at first now. Sorry, no, but it's gonna
okay.
get pretty hectic. So, but we're gonna move into our first clip of the day, in which is this is the opening scene to the movie The Diary of a Tired Black Man, and this is where, you know, James, who is the leading male character, pulls up to his ex-wife's house, which is her name is Tanya. And he actually pulls up with a white girl in the car. And, of course, Tanya is in the house with her friends, which two of them are single. One of them is dating someone, but he is a white man. And James comes in to pick up, you know, his daughter to take her out to eat somewhere, I guess. But pay attention to this first clip. Say what now?
You're about to give the whole thing away.
But I'm trying to explain it just in case.
Okay.
We're going to move it to the first clip. This is the first thing right here. Pay attention to the same people. All right, here we go.
He came to pick up Lena, but he should have came by himself. Bastard.
What?
What? What's up with the white chick?
What does it have to do with me picking up Lena? Is she ready?
You weak punk. You had to go and get a white girl? What's wrong? You couldn't find a sister that would lay down and let you walk over her?
What are you trying to say, Tanya?
She's saying you're a weak-ass nigga.
A weak-ass nigga?
Yeah, weak-ass nigga. Hate black men like you. Too weak to deal with a strong black woman, so you gotta go find a weak white girl to walk all over. And spend her nights with your dick in her mouth.
Hell, girl.
Weak black man, huh? Say, Butcher, do you have a man right now?
No, I'm tired of you weak-ass niggas.
And you, Linda?
No.
What about you, Joy?
Yeah.
A white man?
Yeah, she had to go get a white man. Because all y'all niggas is out dating white women and ain't none left.
How long were we married, Tanya?
4 years.
Have you ever noticed me to be attracted to a white woman?
No.
And how long you know me before we got married?
3 years.
3 years. In this time, have you ever known me to be with any white girl?
No.
No. This house here, full boys. Let me answer it for you, Tanya. This house we live in, I bought it, and all the furniture in it. And now, I live in a bigger one. Let's not even talk about the car, and the monthly alimony check. You don't even remember the last time we walked. And you and your angry little fool are gonna call me a weak black man? Why? Just because I like to come back home to a peaceful house at the end of the day? Instead of going back to a drama like I had with you for 4 years? So you think a black man is weak just because he doesn't feel like fighting every single night? If this woman here, white or any other color, if she can bring me some balance in my life, I really don't care about you and your little angry crew are saying. But let me set the record straight. I am not a weak black man. I am a tired black man. Tired of dealing with every black woman like you and you. Now, where's my daughter?
And we are now back. Now, what do you? Okay. That last clip, you know, that last little rebuttal that he had to her, I mean, he gave it to her. You know, like you said, he bought the house, the couch in which they're sitting on, the glasses in which they're drinking out of, he bought everything. But she got, you know, highly upset with him because of what? He pulls up with a white lady. I mean, what? What's the problem with that, Jen?
Well,
what's the problem with
all,
them pulling up with a white lady?
There's a problem with the entire clip, Al. Most black women, first of all, I think the characterization of black women in the clip is a generalization. Most black women do not anger because they see a black man, you know, with a white woman. That doesn't make her angry, but it is the audacity of a man to pull up. He knows it is a vital situation. He pulls up with another woman and, you know, act like everything's, you know, sunny in Sunnyville, and it's not.
Well,
and it's insulting.
I mean, look, you got to think about what he's been through, okay? Like our first question, what are some things that black women do to cause a black man to become tired? Why do you think he left? Why do you think, well, some things that what y'all do, y'all nag too much.
Nag too much as black women.
Yes.
Because we demand certain things and certain respect.
Why do you have to demand?
Because it's not
given. Why do you
have
to demand?
It's not given. If the man would give it, then you wouldn't have to demand it.
What do we need to give up? Besides love and happiness.
Okay, go ahead.
What do we need to give y'all besides love and happiness, a roof to live under, food in your mouth? What else do we need to give y'all?
Because black men are, they do things that they do it sometimes half-assed. And it's like, if you're going to do it half-assed, then don't do it at all. And I'm not saying all black men, because there are some good ones out there. But a lot of them decide to do things half-assed. And when you do something half-assed, I'm going to call you on it.
Okay. Well, we got a caller here who wants to comment.
Okay. Oh, I think I know who this is. This is the person from the chat room that just called me a name. Go ahead.
Okay. You're live with a middleman, though.
Platinum nigger! But anyway, to rebut to Jen's on that first scene, you got to look at it from the right perspective. And Jen, your perspective is just wrong. You know?
Wow. How am I wrong, caller?
It's very simple. How many black men have to deal with? Before I go there, your statement having the audacity to pull up there in a volatile situation with a white woman or whatever, right?
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Now,
You know what I want to say. It's, you know, we can be cool all day, but don't flaunt that in my face. Don't bring that other girl around.
But how many times, then, does a black man have to pull up to, in today's society, to a house with a lady who has multiple babies from different men?
Mm.
Okay?
And
we have to deal with, not only do we have to accept you and your triflingness, we have to deal with you and how many other baby daddies you got. So don't be upset. Don't be upset over having a white woman come up with you.
Just because you have encountered sorry men that may have left you in a vital situation, not make you trifling as a woman. And as a woman, I find that highly offensive.
But it is trifling. If you make the choices to get with men that's going to leave you every time with a baby, okay? I'm talking about not just once, twice,
right?
Three times. The problem is you, the trifling woman, not the man.
The problem is,
but you want the next man. You want the next
man,
Jen.
Believe
you want the next man to come.
Okay. I can't understand neither one of you all, and I think some of our other listeners can't understand either of you all either. So let's just try to, somebody speaks first, then you speak. But as far as with the sorry black men over and over again, that's your choice. That's y'all choice. Y'all go out here and pick those sorry guys. And then when y'all find somebody good, no. When y'all find somebody good, that good guy has it 10 times harder. Because he is trying to prove to you that he is not like those other guys. He has morals. You know, he knows how to respect and treat you and not do you like those other guys. But in the back of your mind, you're waiting on him to mess up. You're waiting on him to do something. That's why we get tired.
Most of them do.
Not only are they waiting for him to mess up, if they are supposedly doing the right thing, they stop and the black woman stops and says, he's soft. I can get over on him.
Right.
Then that's what they do. And I'm sorry. I'm not, like I say, Jen, yes, I am generalizing, but at the same point, I'm not speaking specifically saying that every woman is that way. But I will say the majority of the women, black women, that I've dealt with do that. In fact, I know a lady who's much older than I am. In fact, her kids are my age. Okay? And she was telling me once that her husband that she was divorcing was a good provider. He put a roof over the head, kept food on the table, kept the lights on, telephone was always on, everything. She said even to the point of she would ask for stuff just to see if he would give it to her. Right? You know, like she wanted a Lexus. He bought her a Lexus. He went out every day, busted his ass every day to get her whatever she wanted to make every one of her dreams come true. And then in the end, she was like, then why are you divorcing him if he's doing everything he can to keep you the way you want to be? And she said, because he's soft. Because I was just testing to see if he would ever put his foot down to see if he would not do it. Why are you telling somebody who's breaking his back to help to keep you right? That was a good man that you're divorcing. A good man. And that's what I found majority of black women do.
Let me tell you this.
Go ahead, Jen.
Okay. Black men make the same mistake that a lot of black women do. There are good black men and there are good black women out there, but we're so quick to generalize. We're so quick to put everybody in the same box just because of mistakes of few. Those few rotten apples are not the representation of black women. If a man buy me a Lexus, tell him come holler at me because I'm not going to call them weak. If he does all those things for me, I'm not going to call him weak. The choices of that bad apple are not the reflection of many. Most black women do, you know, they just want a good black man and have encountered some bad apples out there. And a lot of us do generalize black men, but on both sides,
Let me ask you this too, Jen. So we appreciate your call, whatever. But please hold on the line. Let me ask you this, Jen. Okay, explain to me and also our listeners out there who are male.
Okay.
What is considered to be a good black man? Explain that to us.
To me, a good black man is someone who knows himself. Someone who knows, you know what it means to be, you know, a black man. Someone who respects black women. Someone who respects his mother. Someone who's
okay.
a provider.
Okay.
Someone who's, you know, strong and educated.
Okay.
Someone who's, you know, hardworking. Those are qualities of good black men, and they are out there, believe me.
Okay, are you a firm believer in that?
Yes, I'm a firm believer in that.
Okay, now.
I told you last week, for example, Kevin Powell is a good black man.
Why are you always bringing Kevin up?
Is a good black man. What?
Name somebody that works at a gas station or somebody who changes oil or a garbage man. You don't think those guys are good black men?
Yeah, there's some good black garbage men. Let me tell you.
But you're naming guys who have an elite status, though.
No, I'm not naming that people that have an elite status, Al. Listen to me, Al.
Okay,
I know regular good black men. I have regular good black men in my life. I do. There are good regular black men. We're not all gold diggers out there or platinum diggers, the way the caller said. We just want someone that's hardworking and goal-oriented. You don't have to give me $1 million, but if you care about me, you show me respect, you show me the qualities of a good black man, I'm going to give you a chance all day. You don't have to give me $1 million. I got you if you got me. And that's what a lot of black men, they let their own insecurities come in the way of getting that good black woman because they don't feel like they're a good enough provider. And then they put the blame on us. That's what y'all do.
Well, the reason why sometimes we feel like we're scared because we're not a good enough provider. Because sometimes, you have a population, I'm not saying all black women, but you do have a population of black women, where they have to feel like if this guy don't have such and such as far as a house, $50,000 car, this particular type job that, such as like a doctor or a lawyer, that you ain't going to talk to him. What is that?
Certain things you should have at certain points of your life, Al. Now, if you had fallen on hard times and some of those things went away, maybe that's understandable. You should have accomplished certain things. You reach certain points
What if he's on the way to accomplishment? What if he's on the way there?
A good woman is going to say, if you're on your way there, I see you on the path to accomplishment. I see you trying to be poor. Then, okay, let's do this. Let's do this together.
If you're going to ride for the whole 8 years to 16 years until he gets there, if he's making those steps.
What is 8 years?
or is there a time limit? Is there a time limit on that?
It depends on what he's trying to do. It depends on what he's trying to be in his life.
Okay.
If he's in medical school, okay, let's ride this out. But, if he's trying to make supervisor at his job, you should have that done within the year.
Okay, well, I see. Let's bring this caller back in. I think he has another comment. Please
get rid of the platinum digger, please. Because she is just so far wrong. Just so far wrong. Okay? You can't judge how long it's going to take. You cannot say how long it's going to take someone to become a supervisor at his job. That's not up to him. That's up to the powers that be at the job.
You can be
a go-getter all you want. But you have to deal with the politics of your job. Okay?
So how are you
going to find a good man if you're looking at their credit report? How?
That leads us into our second scene that I'm going to ask to play for us. And we'll appreciate the comment again.
I'm not finished. You want to go to the phone? That's okay.
Hold on. We got to play this second scene.
You don't have to let this credit report thing go, man.
All right. We're going to play this second scene for the movie, and I entitled it The Angry Black Woman. And in this scene, you'll hear like different types of comments from different people as far as what is an angry black woman. So tune into this and make sure you pay attention.
Help me out. Give me the medical definition of the word syndrome.
Well, in psychological terms, a syndrome is a repeated pattern of behavior.
When they come into a new relationship, they almost look for the brother to make mistakes and do things wrong without giving him a fair, open, honest opportunity. And
angry black woman syndrome.
I don't know.
Some of y'all ain't gonna want to cop to it, but let's investigate. What is angry black woman syndrome?
Black men stink on a level, a high level.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree there. There are no good black men.
Yeah, I don't
think I've dated every race, and the one guy I'm happiest with is a black man, and I'm not black.
Here's what it is. I talked to a clinical psychologist. We have named it angry black woman syndrome. Here's where it comes
from.
Oh,
my God.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm sorry. I'm listening. I'm listening.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
We are angry, so don't expect me to just stop. Okay, please, my anger, please, because I think I have the right to be angry. Okay, now, and I'm going to face it. I have the right to be angry.
You do.
Okay, no, you're not, because whenever you try to tell me why I shouldn't be, you're telling it, taking away what I think. Deny it. I have the right to be angry. Okay, any black man come to me has to understand that if he is really a black man and understand it, has to sit back and understand where is the source of that anger. Okay, as a black man, sit down with me and understand why I'm angry without putting it back on me, that I'm angry because of something I've done. I'm angry because I didn't understand black men. I'm angry because I helped
that
brother out. I'm not saying that, but what you do is what you do. You devalidate what you say. Anytime you say but, you know, you never to say.
You have the right to be angry, and men have the right to decide they don't want to deal with the anger because
why
they
not?
Didn't do it.
Why? No, you didn't.
Well, am I
you
obligated
did.
To
but
deal
yes,
with the
you
anger?
Are
we all have anger issues, but how we deal with them becomes the issue.
I think the relationship goes wrong in a woman's upbringing. Like, if her father was never at home, and how is she going to react to a man?
Bottom line, if a woman is not raised right by both parents, there's things that you have to learn from your father and there's things that you have to learn from your mother.
Yeah.
In order to go through society and not cause a wreck. And everything
you're saying, my brother, they never learn how to respect a man in the first place.
Never.
Because they can't handle an aggressive black woman.
Really?
Yeah.
And we're supposed to?
Yeah.
Why?
Because.
Yeah, but because
so how
their
they
mothers,
you?
Because their mothers, as they were raised, may have done things to disrespect the fathers in their absence. Oh, your daddy ain't no good. All these niggas are just the same. They're all the same. That's not true. And that picture should never be painted for a child anyway.
I feel she's angry, and that comes out in her speech. And maybe she says that I don't see my black man as a bad black man because I don't know. But maybe it's because I haven't had that experience. My father was there. He was amazing. I've dated other races, good and bad, and I'm dating a black guy, and he's great, to me, anyway.
And
so
maybe the reason
I don't have that anger inside where I say there's no good black man or this. It's all relative to your experience. So
maybe the reason she can't find
that.
A black man is she doesn't believe they exist.
And that was the second clip. And on this
wow.
particular, you know, segment, we're going to talk about, you know, as what the clip stated, the angry black woman syndrome. And we have our other host, which is Kevin KG Gordon, on the line with us today.
Yo, please. What's up, man? Still on the road, man. Still on the road. What's going on, everybody? Hey, did I miss anything?
Well,
yes,
you
Kevin.
What
yes,
I missed? You missed that first segment.
You missed it. Caller, now you called me a platinum digger.
Oh, Lord.
So you missed. Yes. You missed.
There we go again.
Right.
Let's get into. I know you do too, KG.
What that?
Let's get into the angry black woman syndrome. Now, this is what we just got through listening to. You know, as far as those things that I put together, all of them consist of the angry black woman syndrome. So,
okay.
Like me, I call Jen an angry black woman out of fun. But sometimes on certain shows, she do present that side of her, an angry black woman.
What?
Right. You do. If you listen to what the clip was stating, you know, some of those things, you do present that sometimes, that angry black woman.
Can I say this?
Go ahead.
Black men are so quick to demonize black women as angry. That's
come
not
on.
Fair because you know. Look,
no, Jen,
come on.
Hold up now. Go ahead.
So many so many times black men are quick to say, oh, they're angry. But, you know, we as black women realize how black men have been beaten down in this country. We realize how black men, the difficulties and the struggles and trials that black men encounter every day. But the black man has yet to realize and yet to accept the trials and tribulations of how hard it is sometimes to be a black woman. How from our very beginning we're given bad images of ourselves. Like, I agree with the clip where it said a lot of times we're not taught as young women how it is to be a man.
Jen, I'm not trying to break you out, but hold up, Jen. Jen, hold up. See, there you go again. You're doing a typical thing that is always done. You're turning it around, and you're becoming the victim of the situation. The fact is, a lot of black men, will have to go. We go through situations and we suffer silently. You see what I'm saying? And the thing about it, if we look at a sister, you saying that we don't recognize this and that, but yet and still, we look around, we see our sister getting educated better than us. We see our sister getting better jobs than us. We see y'all getting in better situations, period, than us. And you think the fact that we sit up there and supposed to be like, oh, poor you, but yet and still, you sitting in college and you look down your nose at a man because he don't have the opportunities that you have, and you want to say, oh, well, you should know that I'm struggling just like you. No, you not. You got jobs. You have education. You have all these things.
They reach that mountain by being strong on their own. They've reached that mountain by, you know, being strong within themselves, and you do build up a wall.
No, they got strong because of the support system around them. If they had someone in their life and they chose to be strong for themselves, fine. But majority of the time, people have people that push them to get them to that level. And you know I ain't lying.
That doesn't take – no, that's true, too. But that doesn't take away that it is – you just said it. You do not recognize – black men do not recognize – the struggles and trials that black women have.
But yet and still, so what? How should we recognize it when you don't want to recognize what's going on with us? The thing about it, when you got put in a position where you got everything handed to you, we're not angry because of that. We don't say anything because of that. You got education. How many times have you heard a sister? How many times? There are more, the statistics show there are more educated black women than there are black men. Tell me if I'm lying.
Okay.
And when they get educated, the first thing they want to say, well, I can't find a mate, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. But yet and still, it's a divide and conquer tactic that you never want to observe. You never want to realize.
Right. We got a caller that want to comment as well on this. Hold on, you all.
I'm back on?
Back in the Little Man Show. Yes, sir.
Thank you. Jen is just so lost. She is a lost child. In this way, you know, and there's really no reason to even try to keep beating your head up against the wall with her. She doesn't see both sides. I mean, I don't know her history or her background, but for some reason, I'm like, Jen, apparently you went to college, right?
Yes.
And how did you go to college?
Through my daddy.
Through your daddy. In other words, your daddy paid for it, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Now, my daddy didn't pay for me to go to college. What my daddy handed me when I graduated from high school? A bill. That's what he handed me.
You know what? But you
and
know
with
what?
That bill, let me show you the difference. With him handing me that bill, that was his way of saying, it's time for you to stand up and be a man on your own. Now, if you want to go to school, which I did go to college, okay? And I did graduate. But I paid for it myself by having a car note, by having insurance. Daddy didn't pay for anything for me. As I told somebody just recently, I went to school, and there was many quarters, that I started class and didn't have books until like the third or fourth week of class. Okay? So you had it easy. You are, if you do not understand the struggle of the black man, that we can't empathize with you. And you're struggling.
Wow.
So you can't say that. But going back to earlier when you're sitting talking about a man and has a year to become a supervisor. Prime example. Kevin knows what job I have. Kevin, do I have a good job?
Yeah. How can I say that? Do you want me to tell him?
I mean, you can tell him what I do. I don't care.
Yeah, you got a damn good job.
Okay. Now, in my damn good job, as you would put it, they just recently hired a new supervisor. Many people applied. Many of people who had better better employment records, better safety records, no problems against, reprimands in their files, no anything that didn't get the job. But the one person who did was a young guy, 24 years old, who politicked, who went out and played golf with the managers every week. Only been with the company 2 years. It's about the politics. You can't say someone can do something within a year. It's not up to them. It's up to the politics of business. And I'm not even one that deprived for a job because I don't want to be a supervisor. Because I love what I do.
Well, maybe as a black woman, we learn to make ways out of no way. You know, we learn to get around things. We learn to do what we have to with whatever little you are given, no matter what obstacle comes in the way. So, excuse me, but still, you can achieve anything possible, because I've seen it firsthand.
But why is it that a vast majority of you all are still angry?
Okay, I'll tell you this. You do not recognize that, right or wrong, I'm not saying that it's right or wrong, there are many, many black women out there that suffer from, you know, bad images of themselves.
What they got to do with us? What do that has to do with a black man?
That's why I'm
But yet and still, you know what? Hold on, Gene. That's why a black man gets tired. That's why a black man get tired right there.
That's why a lot of black women are angry. There are problems. There are problems.
All the stuff that you name, Gene.
Right, but there are problems.
Gene, everything that you name is something that you can control.
No, you can't.
You can't. Your self-image. Look, Gene. Gene, I'm gonna say something. I want you to finish this sentence for me. Black is
beautiful.
Okay, then, what that got to do with anybody else? As long as you know that, that's what matters. But yet, instead, you're talking about your images.
I could say the same thing about black men. A lot of black men, you know, especially the black men from inner cities or black men from lower economic statuses, have bad images of themselves because society has driven that.
But yet, do we still rise, but do we throw it in your face? When we rise from above that, do we throw it in your face? No, they don't. When did Barack Obama go? I made it. When Barack Obama did that? But did she do that either? But I'm saying, did he do that? But what I'm saying is, y'all always do it. I'm educated. I need somebody on my level. That's the anger syndrome right there.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
You are, because you're looking over
someone that is compatible with you, not being angry.
The guy that may be compatible with you, he may not have a college degree. He may only have a high school diploma, but he is compatible with you. He may not work at a top law firm.
Exactly.
He may be one of those, I forgot what they call them, but them court-appointed attorneys or whatever. He may be one of those, you know, but he is still on your level. He can make you happy. He can make you smile. You know, he do all the little stuff, you know. Why is it that all the big things, but still, as far as the angry black woman syndrome, okay, let's get back on that, because I really want to get that cleared up. Mm-hmm. But still, as far as the angry black woman syndrome, as far as those little things that stay on y'all's shoulder, that happened to you in the past, it bruises us, because your tone, the way you treat, you know, a guy, when you look over a guy who is a potential mate or whatever, or those things in which you were just saying earlier or whatever, those are things that are thorns in our side. That's why we tired. That's why we get tired.
You know, I don't agree with basic. I try not to. Just because I've been hurt by someone in the past, I try not to, you know, punish other people that I date because of,
well,
you know,
good
issues that I have by that person. And if a woman is doing that, she's wrong. And I'm the first to admit
that. But yet
and
still, yeah, you can hold yourself to that standard. You may feel that particular way,
right,
but there are a lot of people, a lot of women, that will not verbally say that, but their actions show that. You think
right,
about
exactly
it. Their actions
it's,
show
it's wrong,
that
I
they,
agree.
Just because somebody, but yet and still, black men don't walk around. Only reason why a black man be like, man, what's wrong with y'all? Because when you sit up there, you constantly throwing out that negative vibe. You always just heaving and sissing and all this stuff, you know, just acting a butt. How you think that make a man feel?
But I'm just saying it's not the fact to throw the blame. It is the fact to understand that yet it's still y'all act like we don't have any feelings. Y'all act like we don't get hurt by anything. I can act like this, just like on one of the clips. I don't know if you played it yet, Al. But the one where the girl said, "You supposed to take how I act." How dare you tell somebody else that you're supposed to act, you know, take how I act?
We are confused. That's why we're angry. We are confused. We don't know how to act because one minute you want us to treat you as you're strong, you know, men.
No, you don't have to treat us that we're strong.
You don't have to treat us.
Look, hold on, let me explain something to you. Hold on, let me break it down to you though, Gene. Then let me break it down to you. You don't have to tell a black man that he's strong. You know a black man's strong because, number one, he deal with the daily pressure of his job. He deal with the daily pressure of his family, peers, and everything else, and he still make it through. If you see a man that's not on drugs, that ain't out there sleeping around with all these women, a man that ain't sitting up there, got 50 million kids, and he take care of his business, you need to recognize that, period. You ain't got to say a word, but you know in the back of your mind he's doing what he's supposed to do. You ain't got to sit up there and put no plaque on the wall for us or have a parade. We know we do. We know what we do right.
What do you want? You said that we hurt your feelings, so then what do you want?
No, I said they act like we do not have feelings. They act like we do not have feelings.
There's a difference as far as acting like we don't have feelings and hurting our feelings.
True that.
Because, like I said before, all y'all want us to be your queen, mother, whore. You want us to baby you like
your
mother.
You know what? You know what? You
so
know what?
You, like
you can say that. Look,
let me
explain something to you.
Whore.
You can say that for a white man. And excuse me for all our white listeners out there. I'm not saying that every white man is like that. But that is what the protocol for a white woman was at one time. Keep them barefoot, pregnant, and in the kitchen. You got to think about it. We had queens running our countries before we even knew about the Europeans.
Exactly.
You feel what I'm saying? We had queens that helped run a lot of stuff. You got to understand where you come from to understand where you're going. You can't sit up there and just look at it like, oh, because we lost our way right now, that a lot of us still that are looking in our past are not recognizing that. Not every black man treat everybody like that. But at the same time, when you fall for all the society ills and everything else that they throw in your face, guess what? We're going to get tired of getting... Just throwing it up in our face like that. We don't want that no more.
A lot of them do.
We got another comment right here. Let's let
caller
comment again before you comment down. Hold on 1 second.
Yes.
Back on the middle man show.
Yes. I'm still trying to figure out how a person being a good person or a bad person is dictated upon their credit report. Can Jen explain that to me? And I'm being very serious because I'm like a credit report only tells you that someone in the last 30 days or sometime in their past didn't pay a bill or they did pay a bill. Does that say that they got money?
Well, I'll tell you this, brother. She ain't got to explain to you. This is my opinion on that right there.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why our sisters now do that is because they are told by society that is what they're supposed to do. The thing about it, and I say it on every show, almost every other show, if you tell a child that they're stupid, eventually they'll believe that they are stupid. So black women have been taught for the last past half decade or a little bit more, you need to do this for your black man. If you're going to get a black man, he better have X, Y, and Z. That came up with the whole gene list thing. Black man better have X, Y, and Z.
Okay, now,
you know what? And when you do that, you're going to miss out for the love of your life. I heard somebody say something so brilliant one time, and maybe it's been on this show or someone else show. But if you sit up there and you dating the wrong person right now, you're not only hurting that person, but you're hurting two more people. Because that person that you with could be with somebody else that they need to be with. Because everybody got somebody that they supposed to be with. So that right there, you know, think about it. Marinate on it.
But my thing is,
you asked me a question.
Yes, ma'am, I did.
A credit report can tell you what type of decisions this person is making. That doesn't particularly reflect my own decisions. You know, my own personal people who I date in my life.
Jen, what if a person lose their job and they can't pay their bills? So you saying what kind of decision they make?
Jen, let me ask you this, Jen.
Go ahead.
What kind of a person who decides, hey, I'm not going to pay my personal bills because my mother is sick and dying of cancer, and I'm going to pay her bill, make sure that her last days are taken care of?
No,
it's just
an alarm. It doesn't matter if they say,
does that make that person
say, I'm going to cut you off.
But looking at that credit report, what you just said is, that man's credit report says he's jacked up because he wasn't able to pay all his credit cards because he made a bad decision.
No, it didn't say that. It says that he has some issues going on in his life. I don't
his
know
mama,
what they are.
His mama got cancer, Gene. Did you not hear that?
Yeah. I said that. Like, you know, you need to
include. No, I take it. See, and the reason I take that, I really take that real strong is because, like I say, I guess I'm being very personal with that because, like I say, everyone, well, at least Kevin knows, my mother died 2 years ago because of from cancer. In her last 2 years, I paid every one of her bills. I paid her house note. I paid all her medicals. And that, by doing that, it meant I had to stop paying my bills to make sure that I did what was the right thing for her. So if you look at my credit report, you will say, dang. He is very fucked up or screwed up. But I made a great decision because I'm a great person to do what I have to do for my family.
But at the same point last week,
as in the last comment you said, I can tell I won't get much. Okay, now from me and Kevin will tell you this, from me and him talking.
Yeah.
Did I not sit there and say, well, I got cash in the house now.
Right.
Okay. Now, I got cash in the house. I got, and Jen, you had your identity stolen last week, right?
Yeah.
And you had to go get money from your mom, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Where was all that platinum digging that helped you get your
stolen? Okay.
I'm only saying that for a reason. I'm only saying that because in August, my identity was stolen in August. And you know what? There was no one for me to go cry to for give me money. Somebody ripped off my big bank account. But guess what? I didn't sweat it because I have 5 other bank accounts with money in it. Okay?
Let's get to our third clip that we're going to play, people.
But I'm a good person. But my
hold on,
clothes,
hold on,
but I'm
please.
Not.
Right. Well, let's get to this third clip. I appreciate the comment. Please continue to tune in with us, whatever. This third clip that I'm about to get ready to play. I named it the Bag of Issues. And basically, you know, it's going to, you know, talk about the issues in which some people bring along with them in a relationship. So please pay attention to this clip, and we'll definitely discuss it right after.
Tell me about your childhood.
Well, I grew up in a very abusive household. Now, my first memories are my father beating my mother. Very abusive physically and mentally. My aunts went through it. My sisters.
You know, yes, ma'am. I don't see it.
When I'm a woman, same thing was going to happen to me.
What about your girlfriends?
You were there when Linda was getting beat by her man, right? That wasn't the first time that's happened. It's been happening for years. She still stays. And Bridget, she has 2 kids by 2 different daddies. Both of them are deadbeat dads.
Wow. What about Joy? What's her story?
Joy. Joy is special.
What do you mean?
She makes up for the lack of daddy in her life by having a whole lot of sugar daddies.
What about you and your relationships?
I've pretty much gone through the same thing, just like my mom.
Yeah.
Physical, mental abuse, verbal abuse. You see the scar?
Yeah.
My ex broke a bottle over my forehead. I passed out. Up in the hospital, almost lost my eye.
You know, I'm not like any of these guys, so why do you act so strong with me?
I don't know. It's just like insecurities and fear. I know you're a good man, but I've never been in a relationship like that. I've never seen one. I don't know how it worked.
Everyone's a product of their environment. A lot of women are angry because of their upbringing and the environment, what they saw in their house, what they didn't see in their household. I mean, lack of their father in the house or lack of a, you know, strong male role model is the reason why a lot of women bring resentment into the relationship. So I think we're all just a product of of our environment, what we hear, what we see, the media, and I think the media has a lot to do with how we feel about each other, even if it's not something we've experienced.
That's what you call your bag,
right?
And that was the third clip of the day, and which is from the movie, The Diary of the Tired Black Man. And that clip was labeled, you know, in my opinion, the bag of issues. And from that particular clip, you know, you had the scene where James, which is the lead male role, and Tanya, which is the lead female role, you know, they're in their bedroom, you know, they're, you know, lying in bed talking, and he's asking her about her past. You know, why is she so angry? You know, why does she treat him so aggressively? You know, and then she goes into, you know, talking about, you know, her mother being abused, she being abused in her past relationship. That's all she knows, you know, that bag of issues. So she's bringing that into this relationship. And we have a comment off our chat board, and this is from one of our listeners, Trent Poor. She stated, when the relationship and or marriage is ordained by God, everything else falls into place. No one is perfect, but something does have to be brought to the table, you know. And then she stated that what I mean by something has to be brought to the table, this can be demonstrated in this example, such as a crackhead and a wealthy individual would not make it. And that's the example in which she had, which is kind of, you know, an oxymoron for that particular example. But
And that goes back to what the caller said. And what he's referring to is Jen's List. And if he would listen to the entire show of Jen's List, they were not only Jennifer's comments, but they were comments from various women that I know and or work with or friends with.
Right.
And, you know, they gave those comments. You know, me, I don't go around checking people's credit reports. You know, if I deem it necessary and, you know, you're, you know, questionable, I might have to dig a little bit deeper and do that. But, you know, that's not something, you know, I regularly do. As far as issue with something, I agree with Trim 4 on the chat board with saying, you know, just because you experience certain things, just because, I think, you know, sometimes the Bible talks about being equally yoked. You know, if you're on one page and I'm on the other page, then we're never going to click. It has nothing to do with me looking down on you. It's just that kind of have to be on the same page for us to click it off.
No, back in the day, there was no same page. Dog, what are you talking about? Oh, don't try to. What are you talking about?
If you're a crackhead and I'm who I am.
What you doing dating a crackhead?
We can't be on the same page.
Hold on, Doc. Now, look. You know how I mean, the thing about it, Jen. If I am a guy that's working my butt off, like you said, be the best street sweeper or McDonald's fry chef if you can be. And you college educated and all that, yet still we ain't on the same page. Would you look at me the same way, too?
Same page.
How we on the same page?
Because we on the same page because we're both oriented.
Yeah.
We're both wanting more things. It doesn't have to equate with money. If you're a person and you're
sisters nowadays, and you know what? I'm going to make a lot of people mad when I say this. A lot of sisters nowadays, they equate everything to money. Everything. If you don't have X, Y, and Z, you ain't hollering at me.
You can't put a few bad apples in the bag. That's why.
Oh, but yet and still, that. Hold on though. Like I said, Like I said, if you sit up there and you tell a child they dumb long enough, they'll believe it. A lot of y'all sit up in y'all hair shop. A lot of y'all sit up around the table and y'all talk about the same thing. And the sad part about it, the ones that doing all the talking got a man, listen to all these old that ain't got a man, and they bitter and mad. And you believe that stuff.
All that talking
I got a comment right here off of Facebook. And she's one of our listeners out there. She said, these men don't have the right to be tired. All they do is F off, club, drink, and enjoy themselves. And she said that we are the ones who are tired, which is, she's saying, black women.
Uh-huh.
She's saying, yeah, some men out there are trying to do right, and women take them for granted, but it's hard to find that man out there that is like that.
To that listener, listener right there, though, Al, I will say this. How you know they in the club? You must be in the club. Let's keep it gangster. You the one out there, because didn't one of our female callers also say you attract who you are?
Yeah.
Think about it.
I remember that.
If you in the club, you gonna attract the dude that's always in the club. If you ain't gonna do right,
You gonna always attract the dude that ain't doing right. You going after the same dude all the time. He got the car, he got the look, he got this and all this and that. But yet and still, you won't holler at that dude on the back of the garbage truck. And wonder why, just like the clip just said, wonder why you still go through the same stuff. And when you get a good man, you don't know how to react to that good man. The first thing you want to do, you want to revert back to what feels comfortable to you. It's comfortable to be an angry woman. It's comfortable to act an ass in public. It's comfortable to do this and that and don't even do right.
Right. I see our chat board is blowing up over here. Well, they're actually in there quarreling themselves. But as far as with that, you know, the bag of issues. Now, I know that we discussed this on previous shows. As far as, you know, this comment, please don't bring your past into the present.
Right.
You know, that is another issue, like I said, that goes back into the title.
Yeah.
You know, those are some things that make black men tired. I mean, let's be honest. Those things make us tired. And we have another caller who wants to comment as well. And we're going to bring him in. You're live on the Middleman Show. Hello.
Hello.
What's going on, Charlie?
Hey, what's
up,
brother?
What's going on?
Hey.
All right.
Yeah, I've been listening to this one, but this one's a live one. It's a live one here, buddy.
Yeah, sure.
Live one. I actually saw the movie that you guys are talking about, Diary of a Tired Man.
Right.
And I think that there's something that a lot of people need to understand.
Go ahead, Charlie.
We're
losing you, Charlie.
With the Nigerian.
Right.
Hello?
Yeah, there you
and,
go.
Okay, here's the thing. The thing is, the Nigerian community, the majority of the African community had their familial structure intact, just
right.
opposed to African Americans who had their familial structure interrupted by over 200 years of slavery, racism, both institutional and de facto, and to a point now where we are at this point where some of us are locked in what I like to call a culture of hate. I mean, and what I mean by hate is that we've been looking for, like the sister said, what you attract. You know, if you're looking for, these Negroes ain't going to do no good, or all these women ain't going to do no good, guess what? 9 times out of 10, you're going to attract that. You know what I'm saying? I think that we have to start to have criteria, both men and women. A lot of men don't have criteria for women. As long as she looks good, got a big fat butt, a small waist, and a decent looking face, they good to go.
Right.
But they're not thinking in terms of whether or not this person is gonna make a good mate.
Yeah, this is gonna be my wife.
A good wife or a good mother, is she gonna be a wife? You know what I'm saying? That's not on their criteria. A lot of men don't even try to get to know a woman just supposed before they get bed with
her. Right.
Yeah.
So, and we gotta cut that out. As a community, we gotta cut that out. I mean, on both sides of the fence, we gotta cut out a lot of foolishness.
Yeah, I mean, Charlie, I agree with you wholly, because, I mean, it's to the point where it's like a childish game. We always pointing the finger at each other. Now, yet and still, life experiences let us, you know, have our own opinion and gain our own opinion, but it seems like we always go back to that one thing. Well, you started it. It's your fault, and you because of this and that. But yet and still, we don't sit up there and look at the overall effect of what it's doing to our community. And, I mean, I'm not trying to point the finger on this one. It may sound like it, but when sisters started looking at brothers down their nose and looking at us like we ain't nothing, I think it affects the whole aspect of us having a good relationship. And let me go back and say this. When brothers stop taking care of home and doing what they need to do as a man, you know what I'm saying? Not to say all men are not doing it, because I'm not going to be one of the ones that criticize men saying that they're not doing what they're supposed to do. But there are some brothers that are not doing right, and that reflects it back on all of us. As Jen said, one bad apple. Yeah, it seems like that one bad apple made a whole race of black men ain't hitting on nothing. I don't want a black man.
I think when you start examining a lot of sisters' relationships, when they start saying that, when they come into it, the same way when you start looking at brothers who say all black women ain't this, that, and the other, when you start digging into their background, you'll find that there may not be a good relationship with the parent. If it's a female, it may not be a relationship with the father. If it's a male, it may not be a good relationship with the mother. Then the mate that they've had and encountered over the years. The point is, how is it that I know when I was in college, you know, it was the athlete who really didn't give a damn about the sisters.
Right.
It was the cute dog who really, you know, would sit there and brag about what how many women they ran through.
Right.
The frat boys, everybody was, but that brother who was the nerdy looking brother,
right,
who was going to be a biologist or a chemist or a doctor or a lawyer who was studying hard, that brother didn't get no play.
Yeah, it seems like, but I mean, Charlie, where do you think we went wrong at? I mean, what did we do wrong to get ourselves to the point right now where, you know, a brother would, I mean, just like if you notice at the beginning of the show, Al played the clip of the black man that basically came home with a white woman and her friends in the house, you know, she,
right,
they ragging and pushing her right along with it. I mean, how did we get to that point where we have all this inner anger and hate? Like you said, we have
because,
a hate toward ourselves.
This was programmed into us from the day we were brought to these shores. Understand, having a strong, if I'm a slave now, and I'm bringing in a group of slaves,
right,
the last thing I want is the black male and the black female to respect and love each other.
Amen.
I don't want that.
Amen.
I don't need that as an oppressor.
That is dangerous to some people.
That's dangerous to me. You understand? That is dangerous.
Charlie, we have a comment on the tab board. Would one of you guys like to take that?
I'll do that. Go ahead. You have to place yourself in the environment to meet the same caliber type of people. I'm not sure what type of women you, as far as the co-host, are accustomed to, but you cannot stereotype all black women. And that is true. You cannot stereotype all black women, but there is a vast majority of those black women who are influencing those ones who are, I guess you would say, who are have not been tarnished.
Yes.
Okay.
Do you understand what he just said?
I have another clip that I need to play. Okay. I have another clip that I need to play that's going to identify what I just said in that comment. And this clip is called the Strong Black Woman clip. And it's also going to have a scene in there as far as where a guy states where he, you know, he went to a barbecue, five women sitting there, one good black woman, the rest of them are messed up. So please make sure you listen to this clip. And we'll definitely get back into this comment that I just made.
No. I know a lot of strong black women that don't have anger issues.
What does strong black
all?
Women mean? Please explain. Because every time I hear strong black women, I'm getting chewed up. Now, what does it mean other than I can give you grief and you can't shut me up? And I'm going to wear you down until you just want to hit me. But I know you ain't going to do it because you're a weak punk. Now, what does it mean when it's a strong black woman?
My definition? Or what I experience or what I know, a strong black woman is someone that takes care of her business.
Okay, I don't
and
have a problem with your definition of strong black woman. How about that other definition where the women aren't doing nothing but saying you can't deal with a strong black woman like me?
They're not strong. If that's, I mean, they're not strong.
Into barbecues at different houses at time, and I walk into a house, and women could be sitting here, be five at a time, and they're discussing one of the men about how he's no good, he's not doing what he's supposed to do. And I'm looking at the mixture of the women who are sitting there. One of them hasn't had a man in 5 years. The other is sitting there, you know, with three kids, and the man don't want to be involved with them because she doesn't want to go to work, all right? The third one will mess with every single man out there, and other men know that, so they don't want that person either. But the one woman who really has a decent home and who's really happy, they're trying to mess that up. I've never been able to understand that. So now when that woman listens to them, now she's out in the cold, and they're all sitting there miserable.
But my question is, why do black women get so upset when brothers, you know, step outside the race?
Well, that makes you feel self-conscious about yourself.
So how does a white woman affect your self-esteem, really?
That. The white woman can get them anything in the world. They feel as though that they can get, but once they do get out their neighborhood, and then it do become.
I'm not getting mad at sisters who going after white boys and Indians and Chinese because it's too many tired brothers out here.
What's wrong with you to, like, go to the other side? Why not date an Asian man? Why not date a white man? Your options are not limited.
And grow as people and see that there's only one race, and that's the human race.
Are the dark brothers getting all the love?
Oh, please. Oh, they're making a comeback.
And that was the clip from the strong black woman perspective as far as the part of the movie, The Diary of the Tired Black Man. And I label that specifically the strong black woman, because you have a lady at the beginning who's trying to identify what is a strong black woman. And if you've seen the movie, you'll see at the beginning, throughout the movie, at the middle, at the end, you'll see where there's always two or three ladies, well, I'm a strong black woman. I'm a strong black woman.
Yeah.
But then, you know, also in that clip, you know, I had a guy, you know, like I said, who was sitting, you know, he was at a barbecue, and there were four women there, and, you know, he was identifying this one lady who was absorbing all that negative energy from that particular group of women. And I have a good comment from one of our listeners who is on Facebook.
Okay.
He also stated that people always tend to see what everyone else is doing wrong, but we never observe our own faults. And that is both men and women. If we would deal with our own personal issues, build a relationship with others wouldn't be as difficult, because oftentimes it's those personal faults that make us view people in a certain light. And
yep.
He also stated that when I say that, I mean that to a man, each man and each woman needs to look at themselves. Most definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's...
I mean, one thing I noticed,
well,
like, even with that scene right there, man, and, you know, just to give everybody a visual, you had one thug and one guy that possibly had a job, had a degree, had something going for himself. You had two other older ladies sitting on the side looking at them like, you know, which one of them going to get this girl that he trying to holler at? The young guy came up, which the one that had the job, he was like, hey, how you doing? What's your name? They ignored him. Just were like, nah, we ain't going to talk to you. As soon as the thug walked up, the old lady's like, yeah, he gonna get that. If I was young enough, I'd get that too. You know, and the girl ended up walking away with the thug. So, you think about it, man. What type of dude would sit up there and want to deal with a woman like that in the long run? You know what I mean? Your ambitions are for the right now, but yet and still, when you get used up, you want to come and get a dude like me that got a job, that want to do right, already was trying to put together for the future. Do you deserve that? I think not.
Go ahead, Al.
No.
Well, what I think is, from someone who has gone through that phase in my life, it's not a black thing. You know, a lot of women find themselves, you know, the dangerous attraction, the attracted to quote-unquote bad boys. You know, it's
But yet and still, isn't that falling for the same media hype? Ain't that falling for the media hype?
Yeah, I'm not saying that.
So you were saying you were looking
totally
for the bad boys in slavery was the house nigga. So
no,
you was looking
really
for the
not.
House nigga? Huh?
No, I'm looking for the one that's running away.
He ain't the bad boy. The bad boy, the one that's snitching.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying a lot of women in the early stages find it attractive to be, you know, attracted to.
But yet and still, you get used up, like the clip said. You know which one is doing right, which one is sleeping with everybody, and which one got problems. Like he said, dudes don't want the woman that slept with everybody because he knows she ain't had no nothing.
Right.
Why would I want to get back with somebody like that?
And we got a good comment from one of our other listeners as well. He said he feels that everybody talks about this, but as a man, everybody looks for somebody attractive.
you don't look at somebody and know what you're going to get. You know, we all look on the surface. I think black women get comfortable, and that's what leads black dudes, you know, to thinking that they can do their thing. You know, so that's a comment in which you made. And that does, you know, that does make sense. I mean, you know, when you have a guy who is looking attractive to a guy, you know, a girl or whatever, and, you know, he comes up to her, you know, she falls for it. I mean, hey.
Hey,
you know,
but yet and still, Al.
You have that good community. Go ahead.
I'm just, I mean, not interrupt you, man. I mean, but I'm still trying to understand it because, like on Color Class Show, like they stated
right.
to us, majority of women are chasing the same man. They don't realize it, but they all chasing the same man. If you dig deep into that statement right there, they looking for this particular type dude. And when they get him and they get ran over, they look at everybody. They looking at everybody else like, man, he ain't hitting on nothing. Yeah, I understand we visual creatures. I understand that. But yet and still, man, you know something. Man, when you get somebody that's just drop dead gorgeous and you talk to her, she a dunderhead. What just, man, come on, man. You go 9 out of 10 times, you walking
yeah.
away from that.
But right. the good black women that are out there aren't that shallow. They're not solely looking for
really?
The car. Not solely looking for the car. No, there are a lot of, you know, good black women out there.
You know how many women stay single because their girlfriends say it ain't no good black men out there?
A lot.
Maybe a lot.
Why?
Maybe a lot. But there are those are few. Those are not the majority.
It's a lot of us out
now,
here. I mean, we got issues. Y'all, it's too many of y'all single. Something wrong.
Now, do you agree, Jen, as far from what KG just said and also from what the clip just said as well, too, that other women influence women, you know what I'm saying, to follow suit with what they're following suit with? As far as if, like KG just said, if a woman tells you that there are no, well, if your mother tells you that there are no good black, you know, men out there, would you believe your mother? Wouldn't you listen to your mother? Or your best friend, if they telling you that all the time?
As a grown woman, and being on the dating scene, I have to make the decision for myself and choose from the people that's out there.
Jen, come on now. Come on now, Jen.
True.
Come on now. Jen, okay, let's even flip it like this. If one of your girlfriends said, girl, don't mess with him, he ain't hitting on nothing. Then you come to find out that dude is like just the perfect dude for you. But yet and still, your girlfriend tell you, girl, don't mess with him. What the first thing you're going to be like, I ain't going to talk to him. Damn it, I'm lying. Y'all are more influenced by each other than what y'all ever realize. Because y'all don't dress for us. Y'all dress for each other. Y'all don't sit up there and try to get certain things for us. Y'all get it for each other.
My friends, I pick strong, intelligent friends. If my girlfriends are, you know, strong and intelligent, they're not going to tell me someone's bad, and they're not.
What if they hate? What if they the one that want them and can't get them right at that moment? But they're going to make sure you don't get them because they know they probably attracted to you.
Because
you know what? Nope. Y'all conniving. Y'all sneaky. Y'all got a lot of little, you know, insecure. Come on now.
I got a question, too, you know, for all our female listeners out there, too, as well. This is the million-dollar question that I always wanted to ask as well. When y'all introduce yourself as far as your characteristics, why do you start with strong? Instead of starting with if you are into, you know, religion or whatever. Why don't y'all start with God-fearing?
Well,
why don't y'all start with God-fearing?
I'm still trying to understand why
you
don't say they strong.
Strong.
You ain't strong always.
Yeah, because so many men take our kindness for weakness. And we have to put that up front. I am strong.
For what?
Yes, because we see that being weak so many times. We have to put the perception that we're strong.
Can I give you a hint? Can I even give you a clue? If you said, the first thing I'm going to tell you like this, and if y'all think I'm lying, everybody that's on the chat board, everybody that's on the phone line, press number one and tell me if I'm lying. If you're a male. If you hear a woman come up to you and say, I am a strong X, Y, and Z, you ain't going to want to holler at her. You're going to walk up like, you're going to listen like, yeah, okay. But if you sit up there and the first thing out your mouth in our conversation, well, I'm a strong black woman. I'm walking out. I don't want to talk to you.
No,
I already know you probably.
I'm only going to say that just like a strong black man. Just like you said, I don't need a black on the wall because I am.
Man, nobody don't say that. How many? Matter of fact, I'm going to ask you this. When was the last time you heard a black man say he was strong? When you ever heard a black man start off a conversation, you were like, please explain yourself to me. I'm a strong black man.
Well, Al, I'm a good good black man. I'm a good black man.
Al ain't never said
that's
that.
What they say. That's
Al ain't never said that.
But Al is a good black man.
But
so,
yeah,
you know,
Al don't have to. Yeah, what I'm saying. Al don't have to say that. You recognize that. That's like my comment earlier. If you know you're looking at something, if you know you're looking at a gorilla, if it's a gorilla in the room, it's a gorilla in the room. You're going to recognize that.
Because they're a quote-unquote good black man.
But you understand, do you hear? Answer the question. Answer the question. When was the last time you heard a black man off in the, just describing himself in conversation, say, I'm a good black man?
All the time. They say it all the time.
Lord, him. Okay, I'll continue on, please. I am back live. I know I missed the first 15, 30 minutes. I'm here. I have touched down. I've been waiting on this show.
Yeah, I have too. And I think we're probably going to need to continue on with this show as well, you know, I think. But as far as with what we discussed today, you know, we discussed as far as, you know, the opening thing as far as jealousy, you know, the lady being mad that, you know, James brought this white lady, you know, to his, you know, her, well, really his house, because he paid for it. She just
did.
You know, he gave it to her, you know. Then we also, you know, discussed the angry black woman sentence. And we really didn't get too much in depth with that. That could actually be a show within itself, the angry black woman sentence. I'm sorry, James. But that could actually be a show within itself, because those are a lot of issues of which make us tired as far as black men. The angry black woman syndrome. Then you have your bag of issues as well too. And if you look at the movie, as far as the Diary of the Tired Black Man, he gives you a lot of scenarios from people who he actually interviewed, as far as them bringing their baggage into their relationship, and it's affecting their relationship. But you do have that percentage of those people who we identified in the movie as well, and also those characters that he had in the movie that had their own particular individual issues that was breaking down the relationship. And then we also talk about the strong black woman. You know, what is it with the strong black woman thing? I mean, good, I'm glad you're strong, but tell me something else about you first and say, I'm a strong black woman. To me, that means you can, you know, bench 250 pounds. I mean, I don't care about you being strong. I want to see that you are in church.
God,
you're educated.
Yeah.
You know,
you ain't got to tell me educated. You don't know about your conversation.
Right. You know what I'm saying? You carry yourself very distinctively, you know, and not as somebody who is saying that, come get me. I want you to look at me.
Exactly.
I don't want that.
The one you'll take home to mama.
Right. I want somebody like that.
We got a comment, yo. We got a comment. Let's get to it.
Okay.
Yo.
You back in on the Middleman Show.
Take it back to my bug boy.
What's happening, PM?
Yeah. I just, in general, last question, because I hear this from black women all the time. As you say, you never hear black men say, I'm a strong black man, and whatever. Why do women always say, you're set in your ways? Why do women always try to change men? Like, you're too set in your ways. You're too this, you're too that. Why do women always say that? Especially black women.
I don't know, man. I guess
you know
they're trying to conquer,
you know,
man. You know, that's what it seems like. They got to the point where they're trying to conquer everything always.
No. I mean, have you ever heard a black man ever say that to a woman? You too set in your ways?
No. If someone calls you, if
they like
them,
they will.
You,
if they like the girl, they will.
Listen to me. If someone calls you a donkey, one person, you might question it. If two or three people call you a donkey, then you're probably a donkey. You know, if someone's saying that you're set in your ways, then you probably are set in your ways.
And what's wrong with being set in your ways?
Well, sometimes people need a change. Sometimes people, you know, I don't know your situation, so I can't call it good or bad, but, you know, apparently, you know.
No, like I said, I'm just asking a generalized question, because one of my managers at my job, who is a lady, who we're real good friends, she ran down her perfect checklist of what the perfect man would be, and she ran down that whole list, and then she goes, you know something? That's you. I'm like, you know, you're absolutely right. And then she says, but you know what? You're setting your ways. If I wasn't setting my ways, then everything on your list wouldn't even be in effect. Because someone that is setting their ways as Jen had said earlier, they are goal-driven. Those are their goals.
Yeah, changing you might be one of their goals.
You see what I'm saying? So, and then to have a strong opinion on something, you know, you can be flexible if the when it's an opinion, but when it's a fact, you can't be. So you can't be bending, because eventually, the more you bend, you eventually break.
Yeah. And then you get, once, you know, even if in a relationship that you, you know, you get pushed to that limit, you're going to walk away from it. You're going to walk away from it.
But I just wanted to, because I've never heard of a man, period, be it a black man, white man, oriental man, any man in my life, say about a woman, they're too set in their ways.
Most definitely, man. We appreciate you for listening to us again this week, man. We're going to take this next caller right here, and he's a bug boy. Go ahead and take the next caller,
Al. All right, get live on the Middleman Show.
Hello.
Good evening, brother.
Hey, I want to address that question. Comment. I really want to address that.
Okay.
Because one of the things I think women need to understand, when a man turns, by the time a man turns 30 or 35, he's pretty much who he is.
Yes.
9 times out of 10, he or she is not going to, no, not just men, women. They're not going to change unless something drastic makes them change.
Ooh.
So, the whole thing of, oh, I can mold this person into being whoever I want them to be, 9 times out of 10, that's a suicide mission. And a lot of times, women say, oh, he's setting his way. Sometimes that means, I know I can't manipulate him, but I will.
Right.
I
mean, is it, you think it's just the challenge of conquering something that they... You know what I mean? I can show you my power.
I mean, because I think if it's a rational human being, if my wife tells me something that makes sense to me, then I take it into consideration and I add it into what I do. I mean, I listen to my wife. I listen to her more than she thinks I do.
Yeah.
And I hold her opinion in high esteem.
Bang.
But at the same time, if this is something I believe in, like the brother said, if it's a fact, it's a fact. I'm not changing. You can't, an opinion you can be, you know, flexible on.
Right.
So sometimes you may run into new information that will weigh your opinion one way or the other. But
right.
It's a fact. If you tell me, you know, if you throw something up, it's going to fall unless something holds it up. That's a fact. That's a law of gravity.
Right.
There's no sense in me and you arguing about it.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, is there anything that you would say to a young brother, I mean, that's below 30, that possibly can get him to the point where he understand that, hey, some women just going to be like that, just let him ride out if you like them, or get rid of them? What would you tell him, get rid of them?
Well, no, I would say to a young man, first of all, always listen. Listen. With women, women generally, especially if she likes you, Malcolm X said this, that if there's something a woman wants to tell you, don't badger her, because eventually, sooner or later, she'll tell you if she likes you.
Right.
She'll explain it. She'll figure out the words and tell you. You just have to be patient and listen. 9 times out of 10, you listen. Women are creatures who, they like to express their emotions verbally.
Right.
Men,
right.
When we talk, at least me, when I talk, if it's not going to lead to a solution, there's no sense in talking.
True that.
That's my opinion. Because at that point, we're going to escalate to an argument and an argument and an argument. The next thing you know, nothing gets resolved.
Well, I look at it like this, though, Charlie. We got a bad situation that's at hand with these kids, our young women, our relationships, even with our older men that are not able to converse what they need to converse to the younger men to show them how to be men.
I agree.
It's a bad problem right now. And that's why the whole thing of a tired black man came up.
A lot of the situations that we have now are, we're looking, if you are a child from the 70s, late 70s, on through the early 80s, 9 times out of 10, you're having children who were raised by teenage parents.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So
yep.
The mother, it hasn't matured, hasn't lived life enough to pass on wisdom to the child.
True that.
So now, and now with this new generation younger than us, now you have not only mother, maybe a teenager, but grandmother who is in her 30s and still thinks she's 3 16.
Yep. Don't want to give up that youth.
So, you know, I mean, I was lucky. My mother was a full-grown woman, and I lived with my grandmother and as well as my mother.
Right.
So, and then I had male figures. I had uncles. I had, you know, older cousins.
Right.
But I grew up in the 60s and came of age in the
70s. Right.
Right. This is a different era.
Yeah, it's totally different now. I mean,
I want to say this, and I'm not... Listen, this is bad when kids have Lil Wayne and Lil Boosie as their role models.
Amen.
This is bad.
Amen. And it's sad when our young women think that Lil Wayne and Boosie are sex symbols.
And that they're desirable mates.
I want to have kids by them. They sit up here, and I know I heard someone else say this, and I don't care if you get offended, but it's true. All these ladies that are having babies by Lil Wayne, you are a breeder. Because he ain't trying to marry you.
Listen, there's a documentary that keeps me freaking on Lil Wayne. I saw it last night. Now, understand, this is coming from somebody who's actually interviewed Lil Wayne intensely.
Right.
I've watched the kid grow as an artist. I mean,
right.
I know him personally, but I know him certainly as an artist since he was in his teenage years.
Right.
But that brother needs help.
Yeah, I mean, man, I think we as a people need help when we're looking at our rap figures. And, you know, it goes back to the show we had a couple of weeks ago where we were talking about the percentage of doctors that we have and lawyers and physicians and, you know, I mean, physicists and all this. I mean, that percentage is way low. But everybody want to be in rap. Everybody want to be a NFL, NBA player. So, I mean, yeah, it's a problem that we do have as a people.
You know, a million to one. And at some point, we're going to have to understand, get kids to understand, and value education in some way, shape, form, or fashion. I mean, it's bad when you got kids not graduating high school.
Yeah.
We're not even talking about college now. We're talking about getting them through high school.
Yeah, you're right. Well, Charlie,
and then you try to talk to them and try to get them to understand that the world is becoming more and more global and more sophisticated, and that the skills that it takes to compete on a global level are nowhere near the kind of skills that I needed to survive in the workplace, or your grandfather needed to survive in the workplace.
And you know what? We're getting farther behind. I mean, we're getting farther behind because we're not competing at the level we need to compete as a people, and even it shows in our relationships. But Charlie, we appreciate you taking the time to listen to us this weekend, calling in. We got one other call we want to get to before we get out of here. All right, caller, you're live on the Middleman Talk Show. Appreciate you for calling in.
Hello?
Caller, you're live on the Middleman Talk Show.
Hello.
What's going on, man?
What's up, man? This is Courtney, and I'm sitting here listening.
Talking about
how our kids are being raised by these rap artists and all that.
Okay.
I feel like that's not something that just started, man. I mean, there's always been a negative influence everywhere. You know, yeah, okay, true enough, it is in the nation of life. You can turn on TV and see Boosie and Wayne and all this. But
right.
And Rick James was doing things back in the day that was out of line, too. And so you can't just come out and say, now that, okay, Boosie is this. You got to have your own mind. If you can't have
your own
mind.
But, brother, wouldn't you say this? I mean, I want to say this quickly before we lose time on our show. We're about to close the show down. We want you to call back, too, also. But wouldn't you say, even though in the 70s, with your Rick James and all these different other people, back in the day, they did not have the media outlet that these guys have now. Think about it. You didn't see Rick James 24 hours a day. You see Lil Wayne about maybe 24 of the 24 hours a day almost.
Right. That's just because the media, like you said, is that the media is out there, but it was still a lot of negativity. I mean, you can look at the Temptations. You know, David Russell was a crackhead and doing all kind of different things all over. So, I mean, all those things were still there. It says that now you can turn on the BET and see it.
Yeah. I mean, they flaunted more, man, and it's kind of crazy, but, man, we appreciate you for calling in, man. We want you to make sure you tune in next week and check us out. We're going to go ahead and close down the show, man. We appreciate you for calling in.
Yeah.
Yes. Great show, Al. Great
yes,
show.
Sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What
let's
we
all
got going
with the outro right quick before we get on up out of here. We'll come back out just one second.
middleman shouted, beat Chris shouted. Now I ain't sure what you was tuning in to, but pay attention to the real talk. What we here for, so take a listen time out, take a minute. Shout it and learn some, put your mind to grind the world, you destined to earn some. Linda, yo, comment on what you hear. Let's figure out this master plan and put this thing in gear. Don't matter if you hood or you corporate, don't get you got a will to do way better than you were doing. Well, then you fortunate. Take a stand, stop complaining about what you ain't got. Hating on the next man, cause he was dying to wreck shop. Every Sunday, tune in, go live, 6 p.m., blogtalkradio.com. The middle me. Hey, what's happening? The middle me. Hey, what's happening? The middle me. Hey, what's happening? Blogtalkradio.com. The middle me.
Yeah, okay.
We want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Middlemen Show today, and please go back and download this show, listen to it again, forward it on to your friends. If you have any other comments about this show, please check out our website, which is www.wearethemiddlemen.ning.com. Please join our website, get your profile on there, place your comments on there. And if you also have, you know, any ideas that you all want us to do as a show, please make sure you put those ideas on that site, or you can email them to us at wearethemiddlemen@gmail.com. And on the subject matter, please identify the subject as show topic for the Middlemen Show. And we'll definitely try to get your show topic as a topic.
Hey, Al.
Hot show today.
Al.
Hot show. Yeah.
I want to give a shout-out to Marva Color Class. Make sure y'all go check her out this Thursday, 9 o'clock.
That's right.
Hey, Blog Talk Radio, Color of Class, Color of Class. Hey, man, great show.
Right.
I appreciate everybody that called in. I apologize, y'all. I got in a little late today, but we rocked it. Jen, you all right over there? I think I probably dropped
my
Jen
was quiet the last 15 minutes, wasn't it?
Uh-huh. Yeah,
what,
I'm sorry. I'm just sorry, man.
Jen,
I ain't mean
it. Quiet last 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I because I had to let the steam come off of me
Not out. The gorilla was in the room. Hey, the gorilla was in the room. Y'all make sure y'all tune in next week to another live show on Blog Talk Radio from the Middle Men.
That's right, people.
It's going down,
baby.
And the women.
That's right. Same time.
Same show.
Same Middle Men show.
And
that's
we
right.
are out. One up, one down, baby. Chill.
That's right.